Lake Effect returns now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us. That's the music of English Renaissance composer, singer, and virtuoso lutenist John Dowland. Dowland is famous today for his refined love songs and his fiendishly difficult solo lute pieces. His music is a staple for many modern ensembles that specialize in early music. The concert that kicks off Early Music Now's season this Saturday imagines Dowland's music not as performed in a drawing room in London, but rather in a pub in Dublin. Tenor Michael Slattery joined forces with the Montreal-based ensemble La Nef to explore what the music might sound like, played and sung like that. And the concert, Dowland in Dublin, is the result. Slattery joins me on the line now from his home in Montreal. Michael, welcome to Lake Effect, and thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Dowland in Dublin is the name of the album that I'm holding in my hands, and it is also going to be the subject of the performance that you'll do here with La Nef on the weekend. And where did the idea to do Dowland in this way come from? Because I suppose I should say you're doing it kind of like it was in a pub.
Yes, well, really, that's just a tiny bit deceiving. It depends on what kind of pub you're in. I mean, we're thinking about the pubs that you would see in Ireland or, you know, like west coast of Ireland or in the bigger cities on the east coast or, you know, in Scotland, in Edinburgh, where you go into a pub and there's a session going on in the back where people bring their instruments and somebody starts a fiddle tune and everybody joins in. That's kind of what we mean by in the pub.
And it's wonderful because it takes Dowland out of the more formal art song. And really, I love the arrangements. I love sort of the ease that these songs, and I think I could hear people in a session doing this. Maybe not as well as you sing it. I mean, you sing beautifully, but, you know, I could hear the arrangements being done.
Well, what was interesting to us was this little bit of research that underscores Dowland's Irish roots. Whether or not he was born there is still up for debate, but what is very clear is that he spent a lot of time there. He had family there, and he got an honorary degree from Trinity. He was a Catholic. And what we wanted to do was to give his tunes the same opportunity to be explored as the thousands of fiddle tunes that were written down from the same period of time.
Is it likely that he would have been influenced by those?
It's possible. He would have also been, you know, influenced by music that was happening all over Europe because he traveled a lot.
I guess I didn't realize that he had. And of course, most of us, if we think of Dowland at all, we think of him in the classical vein and we think of him as somebody who wrote, you know, madrigals and lute songs. And early musicians have certainly championed them in recent years. But, you know, we don't think of them as being sort of part of the folk idiom as well.
Right. And what we're going to do in this concert, we are also going to pay homage to his settings exactly as he published them. So that as the evening progresses, you're going to hear some of his songs exactly as he wrote them down to be played with lute and sung by the voice. And then as the program continues, we continue to explore bringing more of ourselves to the project.
And that kind of looser arrangement.
Right.
Yeah, of whoever was at the pub that day with whatever instruments kind of thing.
Exactly.
For you as a singer, what does Dowland give you?
You know, we just did another concert last night, and it never fails to really hit me right in the heart because the songs are just so brilliant. First of all, the poetry is so spectacular that just by focusing on that, there's great reward. But his music, you know, the melodies are truly inspired and stand up today to interpretation. Then on top of that, you know, he was such an incredible lute player, and the way that he wrote for the lute was so complicated that his transcriptions are like, they're almost like orchestrations for one instrument, where you have four different voices moving on different strings.
I know his music sounds simple. He reminds me of Mozart in that way. It sounds really, really easy until you actually get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say for him as well?
It is fair to say. And, you know, one of the things that I was tempted to kind of move in a different direction with this project was the way that, you know, his songs are traditionally performed. I feel like there's sometimes so much artifice and, you know, almost too much care and given to the performance of his songs where they become a little bit too precious and too stripped of real spontaneity and emotional content. And they can sometimes feel kind of cold and austere.
Yeah, and the pieces, particularly the love songs, he wrote so many wonderful love songs. And there was one, Sleep Wayward Thoughts, where you come to the end where the lover awakes. And it really, it caught me. It caught my breath.
What's really exciting about that song, Sleep Wayward Thoughts, in this poem, the entire way through, they're using the word love in two different ways. They're describing the lover and the one who is love, the beloved. So it's, my love doth rage, and yet my love doth rest. So he's talking about his own feelings are raging, and yet his love, who's pining for, is perfectly calm. Fear in my love, and yet my love secure. So he's describing the two different ones. And in the poem, those are underscored with a capitalization every time they're referring to the beloved, and a lowercase L every time they're talking about the singer's own feelings.
But oh, the fury of my restless fear, the hidden anguish of my flesh desires, the glories and the beauties that appear between her brows near Cupid's closed fire. Thus while she sleeps, move sighing for her sake, so sleeps my love, and yet my love doth wake.
And then there was the other one that caught me, was Come Again, Sweet Love. Mm-hmm. And that's a very famous one. If you know any of the Dowland songs, the I sit, I sigh, I weep, I faint, I die. There's this gorgeous line that you're singing in that. And again, the way you did this, it felt new and fresh.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
Come again, sweet love doth now invite, thy graces that refrain to do me due delight, to see, to hear, to touch, to kiss, to die with thee again in sweetest sympathy. To see, to hear, to touch, to kiss, to die with thee again in sweetest sympathy.
When you are looking at these songs as a singer and working with, whether it's La Nef or another group, what are some of the challenges and pitfalls that you feel that you need to avoid in order to make it work in this more pub-like setting?
Well, what we tried to do was to not be exactly married to form throughout. So, you know, if the B section is repeated, we would try repeating it. And if it felt right to us, we would keep it in there. And if it didn't, we'd say, well, let's just do it one time. And then we chose which verses we wanted to do, and we were able to structure the songs in that way.
What do you think Dallin would have thought?
I think he would have loved it. I think he would have really gotten into it.
You know, one of the things that I think of music of that time is that there was a lot of improvisation. I mean, people were writing things down, but people were expected to be able to go in and improvise and kind of go with whatever was happening. And I would think that he would enjoy that.
Yes. And the whole, you know, the whole idea of it was a group activity. It would be one score and people would sit around and everybody would be able to read from it. And everybody would contribute. It was a form of entertainment.
Not just beautiful art songs.
Exactly.
You've obviously performed this. This album came out a couple of years ago. And so you've performed it probably many times in front of an audience. What has been the reaction? How have audiences reacted to this, particularly ones who have maybe only heard Dallin in a more formal setting?
We've had phenomenal reactions from the audiences. People have just loved it. I think what's especially nice about it is that it's not just a new take on Dallin. It's also, you know, some of his originals, so that you really do get such a broad and varied musical experience. We've also it's been incredible. We've sold out of every CD that we've brought to every concert. So that says something too.
I was going to say there are rock bands who would like to do that.
Well, I don't know. We might have to get the Dallin and Dublin t-shirts for the next.
I think you should. Yeah, the Dallin and Dublin t-shirts and the bumper stickers, you know, some kind of merch. You need the merch table in the back. Yeah, I think it'd be great. Have you explored more of his songs? He wrote so many. You could only get so many on the CD. You know, are you continuing with this project to try to do more in the future?
We are. You know, I mean, as far as the future, we're looking more at the present. I mean, on our current tour, things are changing every night because, you know, this is the kind of project that it requires every musician on stage to really bring a lot of their own creativity and this real sense of collaboration to the moment. For instance, we're ending the first half of the program in a completely new way. We used to end it with a version of Come Heavy Sleep, which is very faithful to Dallin's original tablature. But we've now kind of added a jig and a reel that are based on the melody of Come Heavy Sleep. So we've got the jig, which we're calling Come Jiggy Feet, and the reel, which we're calling Come Heavy Reel. We just tried that out for the first time at the last concert, and it went really well.
So you don't really see an end to this project until you run out of Dallin songs?
Well, there are, I believe, 6 volumes of songs, so we're happy to keep looking at them and keep pulling out more.
What about other composers of the era? I mean, there were certainly a lot of composers in London who might have pulled on like English folk traditions and that sort of thing. Is there any thought in the future of reaching beyond Dallin?
There has been thought and talk. And one of the nice things about, you know, being on this tour of 7 cities and having this time together again is that we're having some time to pull out a few pieces and think about some ideas for the future. So that's definitely something that's sort of bubbling to the surface.
Good. Well, I look forward to that. And please let us know if you do that.
Okay.
Yeah. But we are so looking forward to having you here in Milwaukee along with La Nef. And Michael, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, well, thank you. The pleasure's all mine.
Tenor Michael Slattery will perform Dowland in Dublin, an evening of lute songs in an Irish pub with a Montreal-based early music ensemble, La Nef. The concert kicks off Early Music Now's 2014-15 season and takes place this Saturday afternoon at St. Paul's Episcopal Church on Milwaukee's East Side. There is more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We will take one last break and then meet the author of The Happiness of Pursuit. So stay tuned. You're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.